Alrighty. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 24 and also 2 Samuel 24. 1 and 2 Samuel 24. First Samuel chapter 24, we'll start reading with verse 1. Been kind of a long, crazy couple of weeks, especially the last couple of days. I'm really going to not plan to preach very long tonight, so we have plenty of time to party with Mary. So we'll have to see how this goes. All right, 1 Samuel 24, 1. Came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes and by the way, and there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose, cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. All right, keep your finger there and notice 2 Samuel chapter 24. This is now the better part, and it's hard to determine exactly, but the better part of 40 years later. This is now late in David's career, after he's been king for a long time. As you know, 2 Samuel 24 is where David goes forth to number Israel. And of course, he was advised by Joab not to. He goes ahead and numbers Israel. Notice down in chapter 24, verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Let's pause there and have a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you tonight. And this is something that I hadn't really noticed too much before and didn't know what to make of it. If I had noticed it, Father, I pray that you might give us some fruitful thought along this line here tonight. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now both those passages, the Bible says that David's heart smote him. Now, I think about the fact that when the Lord said, I'm going to replace Saul with David, he said, I have what? I have sought a man after mine own heart, right? Well, the man that he found was David. So David was a man after God's own heart. And you have twice in these two passages, one apiece, where the Bible said David's heart smote him. Now, one thing I've noticed about David and something I've admired, some of those kings started out okay, became worse and worse and worse and got more wicked, it seemed, yearly and never really recovered. David is a different study. David is a guy that seems that one thing that was always true was that when he got himself in trouble, when he messed up, the Lord always seems to manage to reach his heart at a critical time when things were going to get really, 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 really bad. I'll give you some examples. David planned to go kill Nabal, Abigail's husband. He had disrespected David and his men, and so he was going to go kill Nabal. The Lord sent, and I believe spoke through Abigail, to convince David that he better not do that. That would have been a bad mistake. Bottom line is, again, in a bad situation when he would have done worse, David's heart was reached, and it doesn't say David's heart smote him, but plainly, no more, the Lord made an appeal to David's heart and reached him so he didn't become a murderer, at least with Nabal, right? I was thinking about the fact that then David went over to the Philistines just a chapter or two later. went over to Achish and was prepared, apparently, to fight against Israel themselves. And the Lord providentially reached David and managed to keep David from doing that. So again, the Lord reached David in that. Even in the Bathsheba incident, where David sinned against Bathsheba and against God, of course, and then conspired against Uriah the Hittite, yet when the Lord confronted David by the prophet, he said what? He said, I have done evil in thy sight. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Doesn't say David's heart smote him, but plainly David's heart was touched. And while he reaped really, really serious consequences, it's still admirable that the man after God's own heart could be reached even after he sinned. Right? Think about this passage here, this last passage, 2 Samuel 24, where David numbered Israel. And it doesn't say that he numbered Israel and then God whooped up on him for a while until David figured out he'd done wrong. No, he numbered Israel and then David's heart smote him. He went to God and said, I am really sorry, forgive me. Of course, at that point, there had to be repercussions, and there were. There were 70,000 men that died in Israel because of that. My point is, nevertheless, even in really, really severe sin, David's heart smote him. Okay? Now, with that said, I'd like you to set that aside for a second. And again, we're talking about two incidents here. 1 Samuel 24, David's heart smote him after he cut off Saul's robe. 2 Samuel 24, David's heart smote him after he numbered Israel. Okay? Those are two distinct incidents. They are the only two places in the Bible that say that David's heart smote him. Okay? They are about 40 years apart. One is before David becomes king. One is after David has become king and been king for a long time, late in David's career. What I want you to think about with regard to what's between those two passages is the fact that there are an awful lot of things that happened with David. David walked a minefield between 1 Samuel 24 and 2 Samuel 24. Think about all the intrigues in his court. Think about the fact that he sinned against Bathsheba, conspired against Uriah the Hittite. The Lord's the hammer fell, and he's told that's going to cost you four sons. So what quickly follows then is Amnon and Tamar and Jonadab. That whole intriguing, insidious incident where all this nonsense happened. Absalom winds up killing Amnon. Then Absalom's soap opera starts. And there's all this inner family, inner court intrigue going on with Absalom trying to get the kingdom from his dad. Eventually the throne is abdicated, and as you know, David gets it back, and all that kind of stuff. Amidst all this, you have Joab killing two of David's best men. Joab's just a murderer. And beside that, he and the guys that he killed were all part of David's family. So again, you know, David's gone through a lot, seen a lot, sinned a lot, been sinned against a lot. There's just a lot of things that have happened, and all those things happened between two incidents. One, David's heart smote him when he cut off Saul's skirt. And one, David's heart smote him after he had numbered Israel. What I was getting at with that is that when you look at these two incidents, it sure seems like that by the time you get to the second incident, that David's heart was just a little bit harder. You know? I mean, after all, he did go against God and numbered Israel. That incident cost David, even though his heart did smite him, cost him 70,000 Israelites. Can you imagine being responsible for the death of 70,000 people? Now, what I'm getting at here is that there are some things that happened between those two incidents. Here is David in one hand whose heart is so tender that when he cuts off the skirt of his worst enemy, somebody that's trying to kill him, having cut off his skirt, his heart smites him. Take it 40 years forward, fast forward 40 years. Here you have a man that numbers Israel. Then his heart smites him, and there are still 70,000 people that died. In between those two incidents are all these intrigues and failures and things that happen. That's kind of the way it goes in the Christian life. You know that? You get saved and you start out, you get in church, get baptized, get discipled a little bit, and you think you're in the grandest place in the world, and then one day you learn that you're still a sinner, and another day you learn that other Christians are sinners as well. And there's just a lot of things that happen in the Christian life, you know, that aren't enjoyable. I've sinned in my Christian life. I've been sinned against in my Christian life. I've seen soap operas play out in church. I've seen intrigues amongst families and friends and church members play out in church. There's lots of stuff that happens in life. Just count it for the better, for posterity's sake tonight. Just count it 40 years apart, just like David's was 40 years apart. So here we are. The title of the message tonight is David's Heart Smote Him. I wanted to present a couple things to you here, and then I have some questions to ask, and then, Lord willing, I'll be done. Here you have 1 Samuel 24. You don't have to go back there. You don't have to read it. We just read it. David goes in and finds Saul, shall we say, indisposed. The bottom line, if you want to know the truth, Saul was using the cave as a latrine. The king gets to do that, okay? What he didn't know was that David and his men were hiding in the cave. So when he went in to cover his feet, David snuck up, cut off a portion of his robe. And that the idea with that is, I could have had you, right? And for merely cutting off a piece of cloth, David's heart smote him. Now just stop and think about that a second. David loves Saul. The Bible said that when David was brought into Saul's court, that immediately he loved Saul. Saul was his master. And although Saul was now out to kill him, had done him wrong, David still had a tender heart for Saul and never did Saul wrong. And so when he cut off that portion of that robe, David's heart smote him. It's a real tribute to David's tenderness, right? It's a real tribute to a man that was a great warrior and a valiant man, that he would be tender enough that not having stabbed Saul, not having killed Saul, not having tormented Saul, but merely having cut off a portion of his robe, he says, David's heart smote him. Now, a lot of stuff happens. Fast forward 40 years. Here is David. And David decides it's time to number Israel. And against the law that he knew well, right? And against, by the way, of all people, Joab's advice, he goes ahead and numbers Israel. I guess David at this point, because of the things that he's gone through, the family losses, three at this point, three sons gone, all the intrigues with Joab and all of his ins and outs, all of the subterfuge, the lies, David's own failures, the failures of those around him. I guess David now is a little more calloused, you know, a little more steely-eyed, and goes right ahead and blares through what the law says, blares right through what Joab advised and numbered Israel. The numbers come back, and David goes, oh man, I have messed up. The Bible says that David's heart smote him. Okay? Now, think about where you began the Christian life and what your heart was like then. I bet you were tender-hearted when you started. I bet when the Lord saved you, I bet you had some convictions and concerns. I bet you laid awake at night with some of your sins because you were tender-hearted. And maybe your heart smote you. Well, if you're like me, and I know a lot of you haven't been saved that long, but I've been saved for 43 years. Well, a lot of stuff happens in 43 years. I've been in the ministry for 27 years. A lot of stuff happens in 27 years. And so, people tend to grow a little more calloused, maybe a little more steely-eyed. You have a couple of bad experiences in church where somebody exploits you or says something about you. Something is dealt with, maybe that's not quite fair in your eyes or whatever. You've sinned some sins. There have been some sins sinned against you. And so here you are, count it 40 years later, and you're just a little more calloused. You're just a little more steely-eyed. And that's what happened to David. Now, David, listen, in both cases, David's heart smote him. He was still a man after God's own heart. God still got to him, right? But with that, in that respect, I have some questions to ask you. Just put in your mind the scene in 1 Samuel 24 on one side and put 2 Samuel 24 on the other side. Here you have two incidents and the occurrences thereof. And in both cases, David's heart smote him. In one case, he has merely cut off the skirt of the king. In the second case, he's committed a sin that's going to cost 70,000 lives. Okay? And let me ask you this. I have just five or six very simple questions. I think they'll be very short. At what stage was David's heart, I don't know how to phrase this, at which of those two stages did David's heart, was David's heart more preventative than the other? I mean, by the time David had sinned in 2 Samuel 24, and by the time his heart had smitten him, it was still set in stone that there were going to be some really terrible things that happened, either the plague or God was going to judge him. As it turns out, 70,000 people died. What really bad happened in 1 Samuel 24? The worst thing that happened in 1 Samuel 24 was that Saul's skirt got cut off and Saul had to go get a patch. That's the worst thing that happened. I'm telling you, folks, got to be careful about what your experience in sin and your experience with sinners and your experience with saints do to you. You can get hard. You can get a little bit flinty-eyed. Now, look, all of us at one time or another have to grow a thicker skin because Christians today are too sensitive, right? There's a difference between growing a thicker skin and growing harder in your heart. I am told that I am to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I am not called to be hard. And you know, if you allow the heart back there on that, right above those back doors, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Right? Maybe even among Christians more than anywhere else, you have to be careful about growing calluses someplace that they're going to hurt you on your heart. You know? Just think about the two scenarios, the only two scenarios in David's life where it says that his heart smote him. In which case did his heart better serve him? In which case did his heart prevent him from doing something really serious? Well, in the first case, the worst thing that happened was that he cut off Saul's skirt and it stopped right there. Right? So I have a second question for you. At which stage was the more serious sin committed? That's obvious. I guess I've kind of already answered that. Maybe I'm being repetitive. But David numbered Israel, and I know that nothing that you have done has yet cost somebody 70,000 lives. Can you imagine living with 70,000 lives on your conscience? It's nobody's fault but your own. Even Joab tried to stop you from doing it. And sure enough, you did it and you went, "Oh man, I have really messed up this time. Lord, forgive me. My heart has smitten me." But it's too late. It's still going to cost 70,000 lives. In the other case, you cut off Saul's skirt. Say, "Hey Saul, sorry, I could have killed you. I cut off your skirt. Feel bad about it. Go get a patch." And that's as bad as it got. Right? Let me ask you another question. At which stage of those two things, at which stage was David a greater risk to himself and others? See, what I'm getting at here tonight, folks, is that anybody with any sense, if you have a choice, and you do, you want to make sure and roll the clock back to those first stages where you're tender and your heart is easily smitten and your conscience is tender and the conscience is not seared and the Holy Spirit is not grieved and the Lord whispers to you all the time and says you shouldn't do that. And you lay awake at night because the Lord spoke to you and said you shouldn't do that. Now, that's not where David was later in his career. David knew the law, knew that numbering those people was wrong. Joab, of all people, says, don't do it. Don't do it. And he did it anyway. His heart was smitten. He still was a man after God's own heart. And he died a man after God's own heart. But boy, I tell you, that last stage was a painful stage. At what stage did he suffer the most pain? Well, 70,000 people died in the last one. And again, I point out to you, can you imagine having to sleep with yourself, having cost 70,000 people their lives? On the other hand, just a cut cloth from a skirt in the first case. Now, David's heart was pained because he did that one simple, relatively innocent, relatively naive thing. So, on one hand, you have the pain of having a sensitive conscience. You have the pain of having a tender heart. You have the pain of having the Holy Spirit on you all the time and poking you. And because you haven't grieved Him, He pokes you often and you go, ouch! And so you're in pain a lot and often because you're constantly being convicted about things that you should be. But roll the clock forward 40 years and now you've sinned for a long time and fallen into habits and ruts and others have sinned against you. You've watched Christian soap operas. You've had the brethren fight. The brethren have cheated you. They've exploited you. They've done things that aren't necessarily right. And so you've grown a little calloused. And now you don't hurt anymore as much as you did before when you were young and tender. But one day you do something, and maybe your heart will smite you. But what happens if after the heart smites you, the Lord still judges you for what you've done? My point here tonight is that you need to do all that you can to roll the clock back to those first tender years. Amen? It's just easy to grow a little steely-eyed and a little flinty with experience. You have to grow kind of a tough hide at times, but you don't have to grow a tough heart. There's a difference. I wanted to mention another question to you. Let me ask you this, if you'll take note, in the passage in 2 Samuel, chapter 24, 2 Samuel, chapter 24, notice verse 1. Again, this is the numbering of Israel. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and He moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. But that's not the whole story. Look in 1 Chronicles 21. 1 Chronicles 21. And notice how this is worded differently. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Here you have David hiding in a cave. Saul goes in and covers his feet. He's indisposed briefly. David sneaks up on him, cuts off a piece of his skirt, and his heart smites him over that. On the other hand, 40 years later, David numbers Israel with Job protesting the whole time. And then his heart smites him. Nevertheless, it costs 70,000 lives. Of those two things that we just read, well, of the two stages, but considering the two passages we just read, at which stage is Satan most likely to be involved? See, we always think of Satan getting a hold of the young. Brethren, sometimes Satan gets hold of old folks that have been Christians for a long time and have a lot of experience, have had a lot of experience in church, a lot of experience with Christians. But Satan got more involved in a scenario here where David, after 40 years of sinning himself, being sinned against, seeing the intrigues in Christianity, the intrigues and the court stuff that went on, all the soap operas, just a little flinty, just a little hard, just a little calloused. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, Satan can use a calloused Christian because the heart doesn't smite him soon enough. And so on one hand, the Lord was involved with it, but on the other hand, you and I both know from Job that the the Lord allows the devil to get involved as well. The devil is more likely to deal and to get more bang from his buck with somebody that's just a little hard, that has a lot of experience, that's been around for a long time, and has just seen some things, and it's just a little hard in his heart. What did Satan get out of David cutting off the skirt of Saul? Big whoop, right? Well, he got a lot of mileage out of 70,000 people dead. He got a lot of mileage out of torturing David then at night for years to come, saying, "You are nothing better than a murderer." It's true. Okay, I wanted to ask you just another couple of questions. I really will be done very soon here. Let me ask you this. Those two stages, side by side. Saul cuts off, or David cuts off Saul's skirt, and David's heart smites him. Or, 40 years later, David numbers Israel, and then David's heart smites him. At which stage is David more useful to the Lord? The tender stage, right? At which stage is David more attuned to the Lord? At the tender stage. Don't you know that as David was preparing to number Israel and something that would eventually cost 70,000 lives, don't you know that the Lord was saying, "No, no, 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 no. The Holy Spirit, conscience, no, 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 no." But the conscience was seared. Conscience was defiled. If the Holy Spirit was convicting David, David had grieved him, and he wasn't listening. Wasn't listening to Joab. No, 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 no. And he did anyway. Which of those two stages is the Lord more likely to use you at? When you're tender, or when you're just a little bit flinty and calloused and hold a little bit of resentment? And not just a little bit of bitterness at somebody else, maybe that's a Christian, for something done or not done or perceived to have been done or misapprehended or even properly apprehended. In which case are you more usable to God? And I have one last question. At which stage would you rather have David for a king? I mean, how about when David's a little bit old, a little bit crabby, a little bit curmudgeonly and flinty and steely-eyed, just a little bit bitter, just a little bit resentful about some things, and he makes a decision against all advice and all counsel, against the Holy Spirit and against conscience, that'll cost 70,000 lives. Maybe your life. Maybe your kids' lives. Maybe your grandkids' lives. Or, how about the king that knelt there behind Saul, snuck in privily and cut off a little piece of his skirt, and then snuck away, and his men stood and said, "You finally, you got him now. You can slit his throat. You can disembowel him from one end to the other." And David says, I can't do that. I cannot do that. In fact, I am convicted about having even cut off the robe of his garment. I bet you that part of the loyalty that David won that day with his men was won because of his conscience that day, his heart being smitten over something as small as the skirt being cut off of his worst enemy. You know what I'm saying? At which stage would a child rather his father and mother be? At the tender stage or at the flinty stage? And in both cases, the parent is a good man and a good woman. The Lord can get to them. The Lord, their heart will eventually smite them. But at what point would you rather be the child of someone that's tender or someone that's just a little resentful, just a little hard, so that when God finally does judge and when the heart finally does smite, it's just a little too late and there's still a crop to be reaped? You know what I'm saying? At which stage would you rather be? At which stage are you? See, folks, I wish it could be avoided. I really, really do. Unfortunately, we live in the last times. It's perilous times. You're going to see profound Christian failures. People are going to sin. People are going to sin against you. You're going to see things probably happen in church, maybe your church, that ought not be done amongst Christians. I got to ask you, how will it affect you? You know, that was David's problem. He had 40 years between the two incidents where all kinds of stuff happened. And because of the stuff that happened, he got just a little bit calloused, and he got just a little bit more steely-eyed and a little more flinty. So it took his heart longer to break through, and it took God longer to get to his heart. And by the time he did get to his heart, it was too late after he'd numbered Israel. I wish you could be spared seeing and hearing some things that happen in Christianity. I wish you could be spared some of the failures that you will fail in and that you will see others fail in. But, brethren, this is a war. And in war, there's casualties. And the fact is, in wars, there are fatalities. Somebody you know, spiritually speaking, is going to get killed. I don't mean they're going to go to hell. I just mean they're going to get knocked out of the battle. And as far as the Lord's concerned, they're going to get killed. And it may be ugly, and I'm really sorry. But I'm telling you this, if you let that harden you, if you let that twist your thinking and make you resentful, you're not doing anybody any favors, especially those folks that, as I said, David cost 70,000 people their lives just because his heart was just a little harder, took a little longer to kick in. And so when the day came that he was going to do something stupid, something mistaken, something that somebody was saying, no, 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 he went ahead and crossed the line, and there was no turning back then. And there was no way to reverse it. I don't want to be responsible at that level. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you, consider rolling back the clock on the ugly things you've seen, the ugly things you've heard, the failures that you know about, the time that you walked up and so-and-so was saying something about you or something about so-and-so whom you love. Think about rolling back the clock on those resentful things, those things that can cause a little bit of bitterness here or there. Because I'm telling you right now, it's making your heart hard. You need to roll the clock back. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you tonight with something simple, and I'd never seen this before. Quite in this light, I'm glad that David's heart smote him, and I'm glad that David died a man after God's own heart. I take great lessons from the fact that when his heart smote him that last time, it was just a little late to really spare all those people. I do rejoice that David was so tender in that day that he knelt behind Saul and cut off the skirt that his heart immediately smote him and he could not go further. Father, we all ought to desire to be there in that place, that first stage of things. I pray you might help us in that respect. May you deal with our hearts as we pray right now. Just remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for just a few. Let's look this way. We're going to sing a couple stanzas here before we close. Number 328. Be seated for just a moment. Mary, do you have anything you want to say before we have your party and before you leave for PBI?
I have
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we'll be praying for you. Really will. Keep us informed how things are going. I just had you sit down. Why don't you stand back up? Let's pray. We're Catholics here today. Sit down. Stand up. Sit down. Kneel. Whatever. Genuflect. We're going to have a word of prayer and get the cake going here pretty quick. But if you get a chance to say goodbye to Mary, that'd be a great thing. They're leaving Wednesday morning early, I guess. So let's pray. Father, we are glad to come here tonight. Father, I pray you might have helped us to be helped here tonight. As well as this morning, Father, we are aware of a lot of folks gone. We just ask you'll be with them and get them back safely. Get them some rest, those that are on vacation and such. We pray for Mary as she and her family head down to Florida here in the next couple of days. Pray you'd bless her as she gets there. Sounds like there's a job waiting and looks like roommates and a place to live and all those sort of things. I just pray you'd help her and be with her. We look forward to hearing how things go. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll just hang around for just a few minutes, the cake will be cut. You can have some cake.